Okay, we'll start from the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph and Bet. The Mishnah begins, Yesh Chayav Amaseh Shoro Upatur Amaseh Atzmo. And that there's an ability to have the same action taken by a person and taken by his animal, and yet the outcomes will be different. Right? Chayav Amaseh Shoro Upatur Amaseh Atzmo Upatur Amaseh Shoro V'Chayav Amaseh Atzmo. So again, there are differentials between him and his animal, and these differences will create it, or create a situation in which he will be patur, his animal will be chayav, or the other way around, that he will be chayav and his animal will be patur. Ketzad, what are these instances? Shoro shibyesh patur. Shor that embarrasses someone else is patur, because part of what we require for to be chayav in boshet is one, is kavanato lazik, and number two is we require a ish be'amito, that has to be a person to person in order to have busha be an issue. So therefore, sure, can never be chayav for boshet. But who should be yesh? On the other hand, if a person causes embarrassment to another, chayav. In that instance, he is chayav. Shorosh simes in abdo v'pilat sheino patur. Sure, that knocks out the eye or tooth of his evet knani. In that instance, he is patur. In real sense, it's really his mamon that's damaging his mamon. I mean, that you have a shore, which is his mamono, he has the evet knani, which is his mamono. Right, and therefore, right hand, left hand, right, he is, in that instance, the Baal Bais is patur. Who? But on the other hand, if he himself, sima adena dovi pilacheno, chayav. In that instance, he is chayav, meaning that is one of the instances where a Eved Kanani will go free. Right, is when the Adon knocks out a tooth or an eye of his Eved Kanani, then he'll go free. Shorosh chaval be'aviv, ubi imo. And a short that hits one's father or mother, chayav, and the baal of the shor is chayav for the damage done to their parents by his mamon, by his shor. V'hu shechaval be'aviv v'imo patur. On the other hand, he who does damage to his parents is patur. Why is he patur in this case? Because, right, so he is chayav mitah for being chovel in his parents. Shoro sheidligat ha-gadish b'shabbat chayav. Shor that lit the gadish on fire on Shabbat, again, chayav is chayav for that which his mamon does. On the other hand, if he himself lit it on fire on Shabbat, patur. Why again? Because he is violating the Shabbat, and violating the Shabbat, he's a chayav mitah. Chayav mitah. He's not going to be chayav for the mamon. Now the Gemara is going to discuss all these issues. Right, so the Gemara will discuss your instance of shogeg. Right, does it only apply to meis? Does it only apply when you have miso, or does it have broader application? So that's today's daf. Right, Tani, Rabbi Abou, Kameid, Rabbi Yochanan. So, Rabbi said before Rabbi Yochanan, Kol ha-mekalkalim p'turim. When it comes to Shabbat, all mekalkalim are p'turim, p'tur of avasur on Shabbat. Chut, there's an exception to two mekalkalim that are going to be chayav, which is chovel u-mavir. It's chovel and mavir are going to be the exceptions to the rule, because we have a pasuk that is in order to know that Mila is Mutar B'Shabbos, we need a specific pasuk to teach us that you're allowed to do a Brit Mila on Shabbos. If it weren't for the fact that Chovel was Asur on Shabbos, why would you need a pasuk to be Matir Brit Mila? So the indication from the fact that you have a pasuk that tells you Brit Mila is Mutar on Shabbos tells you that Chovel B'Shabbos is Chayat. The second thing, B'Mavir, we have a pasuk that specifically says that a Bat Kohen, right, that is supposed to be put to death, right, about Kohen who was Mizaneh, right, she was at Arusa, is Chayevet in Trefa. And yet we have a pasuk which really says that a bat kohen cannot be put to death on Shabbos. The indication for the fact that a bat kohen cannot be put to death on Shabbos is that strafe in general is a problem on Shabbos. So in this instance, we have chovel and mavir, which will be exceptions to the rule of mekalkalim. And despite the fact that all mekalkalim, when you do destructive melachah on Shabbos, you are patur of alatur. But when it comes to two melachot, which are destructive, nevertheless, they will be chayavim on Shabbos, which is chovel and mavir. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responded back, then Kol Kani the Vara. Send this Mishnah out. That Mishnah is not a good Mishnah. Chovel and Mavir ain't a Mishnah. The Chovel and Mavir are not the Mishnah, meaning that they are not exceptions to the rule. They're included in the rule. I mean, the rule is the same by Chovel and Mavir as it is by all other Melachot Mikalkalim, that they are not Chayat. Ah, that's the case. Mishnah. If you said it is a Mishnah, what's the case that you're chayav chovel mavir? That's chovel b'tzarech l'kalbo, mavir b'tzarech l'afro. that you can create constructive melachot out of chovel and mavir. Chovel is an instance where he's chovel to get the blood out in order for his dog needs some blood, so he's chovel to get that blood out, and mavir is in the case where he needs the ashes. So when he does that, then these are constructive melachot. When they come to constructive melachot, right, we're not talking necessarily about mekalkalin, and that's how he, Rabbi Yochanan preserves the Mishnah, but chovel and mavir being exception.
The Avot is saying,
yeah, Rabbi Yochanan
is saying,
right,
so the Mishnah is saying, Yechayah.
Right,
so what's
good.
The Shaila?
There is no Shaila. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's it. The problem is Rabbi Yochanan disagrees.
Okay.
Rabbi Yochanan says, throw that Mishnah out. That it, mavir and the chovel are now the same as anything else. And the Gemara is going to have to say, again, our Mishnah, they're going to have to second from our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan, which is Rabbi Yochanan who says it has to be constructive, then how are you going to explain our Mishnah? That's going to be the question. We haven't gotten to the question yet, meaning that the question is really on Rabbi Yochanan's position, not Rabbi Yochanan's position. Right, so let's just point out over here that there happens to be a machlokas in the Gemara and Shabbos between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Mekalkel in general. So he suggests that he brings down a Rabbeinu Shmuel to suggest that their machlokas here between Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan follows the same line. The Rabbeinu Shmuel says that perish Rabbi Bo sabr Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon, darum mekalkel b'chabura chayav. Even when you mekalkel by a chabura, that is chayav. Rabbi Yochanan is really from Yehuda, darum mekalkel b'chabura b'harav partur. Right, so that they go, they're arguing the same machlokas as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Right, so then the Tosafot says that can't be. You know why that can't be? Because then why did Rabbi Yochanan come along and say, Pok Tony the Bara, throw the Mishnah out? You have a machlok to see Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yochanan is holding like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is holding like Rabbi Shimon. So now we have a Mishnah that's like Rabbi Shimon. So you say, Pok Tony the Bara, throw the Mishnah out because it's like Rabbi Shimon? That we don't say. I mean, so you have a Bar Pukta. Right, it's another Tana. That's not the case. So
it's
a Braisa. Right, so then Al-Koch Nira, the Reed says over here, that he thinks that Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes that Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayav, that's who they're arguing. So Rabbi Bo holds like Rabbi Shimon, straight out, that Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayav, and Rabbi Yochanan says that even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayav, says you still need a Tikkun Ksat, that's what he calls it. You need some little constructive. You don't need a fully constructive malacha, but you at least need something that like lends it right a nature that it's not purely destructive. And that's my closest view between Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan, which is Rabbi Bo says we don't care if it's totally mekalkel, you're chayav. And then Rabbi Yochanan says no, we need at least some small form of constructive malacha. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold you not chayav, right? And in Cain, it's fully constructive. Like the malacha has got to be totally constructive, not just a small portion of it is constructive. Tosfos also explains, well, right, about malacha shetzricha legufa and malachas machshevet. How come, how does Rabbi Bo get around all these issues? How come this is classified as a malacha shetzricha legufa? Rabbi Bo says you don't need anything. Then what's the malacha shetzricha legufa here? What are you doing that is, if it's a makalkel, if you're destroying things and you have no purpose in destroying them, then what malacha shetzricha legufa do you have over here? Right. We don't get right. So then, what type of malacha shetzricha legufa is it? That's the problem. Right. According to Rabbi Yochanan, at least there is some toelet in the malacha itself. Whereas according to Rabbi Bo, there is no toelet at all. So how do you have a malacha shetzricha legufa over here? So you have to either say that Rabbi Yabo does not require malachas tzricha legufa, or that you can find a case where it's possibly tzricha legufa, but not a toelet, is where he's burning like isurei hana, right? Or things that he, or he's mavir, things where he wants to be mavashal as deva with isurei hana. In that case, he thinks maybe it's a mutar, he goes in and burns them to use for his own benefit, so he has toelet in what he's doing in the burning, yet in the end it doesn't turn out to be any toelet, because they were Surah Anon, he's not allowed to use them for this purpose. So he comes up with this wild case where Rabbi Bo can be fine Koelet without it helping Rabbi Yochanan, because there is no real Koelet in the end. I think you have an interesting point, which is that if you quote like Rabbi Bo, which is what Tosafot says over here, Tosafot does bring an answer like the Reed, that Rabbi Bo doesn't hold of Malacha Tzricha Legufa in these instances, because the Gufa Malacha, according to him, is the destructive purposes. That is exactly what the Gufa Malacha is, and I think that is correct. Here, then he asks on Rabbi Yochanan's position, he says, my time is the Lord Mechayev Mekalkel Gamur. Why does Rabbi Yochanan require some toelet here? Why doesn't he just say that Mekalkel is Chayav? Right? What is the reason that you Mekalkalim or Peturim in general is because we need Melechet Machshevet. Melechet Machshevet is constructive. Right? And by Chabura, we don't look at Melechet Machshevet. That's exactly what the whole point of Rabbi Shimon's position is, that you are Chayav by Chovel and by Mavir, because we don't look at this Melechet Machshevet aspect. We look at, right, just the, right, you're right, the result of the kilkul that you're burning, what you're doing with the Melechet. So why did he go? He says, even though, this is what Tosfos says, even though we don't need Melechet Machshevet, but since we learn out from Mila and Bat Kohen, these halakas, we don't only going to be chayav similar to those types of halakas, right, that is not Mekalkel Gomor. So Tosfos says, you're right, if it was just up to Melechet Machshevet, then we wouldn't come to the conclusion that you need a Tohelet out of this. But the fact that we learn them from other things, like the Bat Kohen and Nisrefet and Mila that is done on Shabbos, both of those have at least a constructive aspect to them. And because of that, he says they have to create some sort of constructive aspect along with Malacha, because they're domain to those two. So then you have it. So now, then if that's the case, why doesn't Rabbi Bo say the same thing? That's what your question is. Both of you are asking the same way. Well, if it's so obvious, Rabbi Yochanan's right. If you're learning it out from Mila and from Bat Kohen, there's at least a constructive aspect of it. So you say that Rabbi Bo says that when you're talking about constructive aspects to mitzvot, that's not considered constructive. I mean, doing a mitzvah, right, is not enough to define a melacha as constructive. You can make arguments that, right, a melacha that's done to accomplish a mitzvah, that doesn't change the ofi ha-melacha. Whereas when you say constructive, I mean in the melacha itself, I'm doing something that is constructive, right, that has a constructive outcome, rather than simply accomplishing a mitzvah. And that's Rabbi Bo's argument, that I don't need anything. I need nothing. Even chabura and strefa are Azul Gamre, even without any Tawalat, because Tawalat mitzvah is not going to affect my understanding of the Melacha of Chabura and of Tzreifa. The last thing you have to say, the last question is about Melacha Shetzricha Legufa. What's the classic case of Melacha Shetzricha Legufa? That's a whole Chofer, but Tzarech Leguma. Right? I mean, let's talk about Pro. Right? That you go dig a pit, and you need the dirt that's in there, and fill the pit with. So why isn't that exactly this case? According to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you do? You burn the fire because you need the ashes. Why is it? You're hitting the person to get blood out of them so you can feed your dog. That's exactly like the case of digging a pit to get the afar out. So it should be a melacha she'ein tzricha legufa. So Tosfos distinguishes, this is also important extinguishment distinction in melacha she'ein tzricha legufa. He says, here, listen to this answer of Tosfos. Yesh lomar to lo gami to hocha tarechud netilat neshama. Over here, he needs to take the person's life. What does that mean? Right? What he wants is blood. And the only thing that when you take out blood, it's as if you take out a person's neshama, part of the neshama, even if you don't kill them entirely, it's partially removing the neshama. So you want the blood. Your wanting the blood is equal to saying netilat neshama. Right? That's the tzrich legufa. Because you want the blood, that is netilat neshama. And also when you burn, right there, you're talking like burning a fire to cook. You burn a fire to cook on it, we don't say that's melacha she'ein tzricha legufa. We say that the consumption of the materials, it itself creates the heat or the value by what it burns. Right? And so over here, when you create the ashes, right, the fire itself in its consumption process is exactly, it's doing what you need, which is creating the ashes. As opposed to a kofar guma, which is that had I been able to somehow get the dirt without digging a hole, I'd be just as happy. I mean, the hole is only a sidebar or a zone.
The melacha was netilat adama.
Right.
Then Tosfos would be in front.
Right, exactly. But that taking the adama doesn't require you to have a kofar.
If you
found a pile of ashes, but the only way to get ashes is by burning, right, something. Somebody had to burn something to get to those ashes. So if you found the ready-made ashes, true. But if you don't have ready-made ashes, the only way to get to them is to burn something, right? That's not true. Chofer Guma is not the only way to get a fire, right? You can get a fire without being Chofer Guma. Chofer Guma is just something that mimela happens when you go to get a fire. It's not the definition of a fire.
How else can you get a fire?
Right? No, but I'm saying a fire is not defined by digging a pit. Right? A fire, somebody, if you had, a pile of dirt, right, and you took off the top of the pile of the dirt, right, you'd be fine. So again, there are ways to get to that melacha without actually, that's not the definition of the melacha, it's not, right, what you're doing to get the afar. As opposed to netilat neshama, getting blood, and being mavir, which is ashes, the melacha itself is what generates the item that you want. Right, so it's a very important focus about the calculating. Obviously, these have huge implications in the Shabbos with regards to what is considered Patar Malasur, what is considered a Melacha D'oraisa when it comes to Mekalkalin. The Berolocha discusses this in general. In the Mishnah on Shabbos, Mishnah Shabbos discusses certain Melachot that must be constructed. For instance, Boneh B'Soter. The Mishnah says that one who's Boneh is Chayam on Shabbos. One who's Soter, right, has to be Soneh Terah, Menach, leave notes. Has to be destroyed in order to be, has to be constructed. Right? So that's the question. Where, right? Mochek, Amanach, Lichtov, right? Those Melachot where you have to erase. That is true. So the Mishnah only mentions by certain negative Melachot, the Mishnah mentions they have to be constructive. By others, it doesn't. For instance, Kosher Matir. There, the Mishnah does not mention the fact that you have to be Kosher, which is a positive Melacha. It does not say you have to be Matir, Amanach, Lichtov. Because you have to untie in order to tie again. That the Berolocha discusses in the Shabbos by Kosher Matir, and there he discusses these malachos that don't have a clearly, right, don't have a clearly defined constructive aspect to them. Do we demand that the malacha be constructive or not? Can you have it be simply that they are matir? Matir will be chayav, despite the fact that what? That you are not doing something constructive. Not amanat likshor. So that's what the Berolocha. Berolocha distinguishes. This is very important. Berolocha says the distinction will be like this. We don't, in the Melachot, specifically say, like Shaul mentioned, Mochet Amanat Lichtov, where it's specifically spelled out that the Melacha is only done when it does the constructive, positive side of the Melacha, there you will require it. The other Melachot, like Matir, and Melachot, like Soter, where it does not spell out the fact that it has to be constructive to the positive Melacha, you will not require it to be Matir Amanat Lichtov, but I will require it to be Matir that is constructive. That's the Berolocha makes the distinction that when all these malachot, if I want to be chayav, just like here we said, call them a kalkalim turim. When I say call them a kalkalim turim, I mean that if you are a kalkel, you are not going to be chayav. How am I going to be chayav? I'm only going to be chayav when it's constructive. But it does not have to be constructive to the point where it's constructive to the positive malacha. It doesn't have to be matir, I'm going to leave short. It doesn't have to be sotir, I'm going to leave notes. It has to be only part of the purpose to the untying or to the sotir, where you can create. Obviously, there are certain easy circumstances that you can create there where being matir or being sotir has positive aspects, even though they not create the positive malacha. It's a very, very important concept that comes out of this idea of kolam akalkalim that are surim. All right. Now back to our Gemara now. Now the question on Rabbi Yochanan. The question on Rabbi Yochanan is our Mishnah. It's done. Sharoji Lika Dagadish Bishabbat Chayav. Mahushi Lika Dagadish Bishabbat Patur. Viktani Hu Dumi the Sharo. The parallel here is that the same malacha that he does, the same action he does, is his shore doing. Masharo the Glow Kabayilai. Must be a case where it's a shore doesn't need to burn down a Gadish. Right? So it's obvious that the outcome is unimportant to the shore. So Abu Nami the Glow Kabayilai. Viktani Patur. Right? And even though here he has no need for the ashes, we still say patur, mipneishu din minafsho. So that would be against Rabbi Yochanan, right? See, this is a problem. Our mission presents the problem, which is our mission seems to be indicating it's a case with no toilet whatsoever. And yet, we still say that he's patur from the nezek because he's chayav and shabbat. That supports the position of Rabbi Abahu. So Mar says, well, shoro dumya zidei. The other way around. It's got to be his shore like him. Mahu dikabayile, just like he needs it. What does that mean? That there's toel. He needs these ashes. He needs this blood. Absharo dikabayile. Also, like a shore needs the outcome, needs the ashes, or needs the blood. I said, Sharo hecha mishkachada. Please explain to me, where is the case where a shore needs the outcome of what is being done here? So I'm a layer of Abaya. No problem. How come I skinan? What are we doing? Mayor, shore pikea. Talking about a smart shore over here. What's the smart shore? So I'll go on the shikha bigabo. He got bitten on his back. He got bitten on his back with Ka Bay the Mikle. He needs to create ashes. Ubein Gadar Bikutma to roll around in the ashes. Why? Because they believed that it was right of a healing nature to place ashes on a bite. So this shore goes and throws a coal into the Gadish or puts something that lights the Gadish with a fire to get the ashes so he can roll around in the ashes to fix his cut on his back. So Mar says, Umanayadina. How do we know that that's what the shore is doing? So Mar says, well, you know how we know? The both of the Kalya come in the Rabbi Kutma. After he burnt down the Gadish, we see him rolling around in the ashes. So we know he burnt it down to get into the ashes. So Mar says, Umika Gai Gavno. Alright, I mean, it sounds great, but does this really happen? Right? Does such a thing happen? Mar says, it? Yeah. That was Torah, Dava Be Rav Papa. This is the shore that was belonged to Rav Papa. Dava Kibin Lei Chimche. His gums or his teeth were hurting him. And what's the solution? What do you do for pain in the gums or pain in the teeth. Gum both mentioned vinegar, shechar, or beer. So Ayel, so this shore came into the house. Upatkelin is Aita. He knocked over the barrel, knocked off the top of the barrel. Vashati shechra. And he went in and he drank the beer. Right, Vitzay. And he, you know, healed himself. I mean, that the animal had an intuition that the solution to his problem was in the barrel. So he opened up the barrel to get to the item that will help him out. Again, our case seems a little more far-fetched, but the Gemara at least sees the possibility that a shore would do something, right, or do something that seems extreme or extraordinary in order to solve its problem. So just like by a human, it's in the case, by a shore it's also the case, and Rashi points out, it's lav dafka. By a shore, we don't need it to be that way. By a shore, it's irrespective of whether he does it for Tualas or doesn't do it for Tualas, he's going to be chayav. That's not the question about chayav. All we need is, because we need it to be parallel to the case where the human is Tualas for Rabbi Yochanan, therefore we say by shore Tualas, but that's not necessary by shore. It's only because we're drawing the parallel, we just have to come up with a possibility of making it parallel, because that's what the Mishnah does, it draws a parallel between them. So Amr Rabbanan Kameh Rapapo means it Amran Shor Dumya Diday. Could you really say the question of Papa on Rabbi Yochanan? Can you really say Shor Dumya Diday? Why? Bahaktani Shoru Shabiyesh Patur. Oh, Shabiyesh Chayav. Right? If you say that, what are you going to say? When he's Shor is Biyesh is Patur, Bahu Shabiyesh Chayav. Shor Mur Do Dumya Diday. Now what are you going to say? That Shor is like him? Nitkavin the Bayesh, right? Echemishkachala. What do you mean? How are you going to come up with such a case? I mean, this is the solution to the problem, which is to say that they always look at the shore, doing it to the human being over here, then how are you going to explain the case of busha? Right? In the case where a person is mevayesh someone else, he's going to be chayav. When the shore is mevayesh someone else, he's patur. One can, a shore never has the possibility of mevayesh someone else, because the shore doesn't have da. Shore never has the ability to create an instance or a circumstance where he's invited someone else. So how can you compare Shore to him?
It's not his intent.
What?
It's not his
intent, which is what you need over here, right? So Gemara answers up, which I explained the Mishnah this way, but this is the solution which we saw earlier in the Gemara, which is to be chayev for busha. You don't have to have intent for busha, you just have to have intent for hezek. That only if you intend to do damage, you're chayev for the busha. You don't have to have intent for the barriers. You only have to have intent for the hezek. So that we can come up with a case for an animal's intent, and that's my answer. Gugon, shnitzkaven the hazik. In a case where a person is nitzkaven to do damage, damarmar nitzkaven the hazik. We saw this right in Chavzayim. Right, that the person who intends to do damage, afu pishul is given the vayeshi is chayav, and that by a shore we can come up because that's the nezek of shore of karen. That is nitzkaven the hazik. So you could have a case where a shore is nitzkaven lazik, and nevertheless he'll be patur for the busha, whereas a human being, a man who does that, and is nitzkaven lazik, he will be chayav on the busha. Right now, Rabba, this is Shaul's question from earlier in the Gemara, right? He said, what about a case of shogeg? So Rabba says, matnitan bishogeg. Our Mishnah is a case of shogeg, uketana de bechizkia. And it goes according to the tana de bechizkia. I'll explain the Gemara now according to Rashi. Right, Rashi says over here that our Mishnah, right, is not a case for the Bayla Pro. Rashi says we don't need this anymore. We don't have to explain our Mishnah in a case where you need that which is there. Why? Behind the Potter Mitashlumim. Why are you Potter then? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the only time, why, or according to Rabbi Bo, right, where we say that there are cases where you are Potter for paying for Mav'ir, right, according to Rabbi Bo, anytime you're Makalko, we don't need Sarachalko, it's not a problem. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, you need some sort of positive aspect to the malacha. So how are you going to be patur over here if there's no positive aspect to the malacha? If there's no positive malacha, you're actually patur on Shabbos, which will make you chayav on the mamon. So how do you come up with the case? So Rashi says, I'll explain to you how. Again, this is Rashi's explanation. I'll tell you, because you are patur, Mishnah Teshlumi, when it comes to when you are shogeg on Shabbos. Even though you're not chayav misa, nevertheless, you are patur because of Kimlei Derabi Mein. I mean, Kimlei Derabi Mein does not only apply in a case of Mezid where you're Chayav Misa, it even applies to a case of Shogeg where you're not Chayav Misa. And despite the fact that you're not Chayav Misa, you're still Patur Minat Tashlumim. So Rashi said, well, if that's the case, we can say the same thing over here by the Malacha of Chabura and Malacha of Mavir. So even though you didn't do it for Toelet, even though you didn't do it in a constructive manner, right, if you did it in a constructive manner, you'd be Chayav Misa, and you'd definitely be Patur from the Teshlamim. Rashi's saying, well, if we parallel that to Mezid and Shogeg, also over here, Right? By the case where it's not constructive and you're patur, you'll still be patur from the mamon because you could have been chayuv if you did it in a constructive manner. That's what Rashi says. Mezid means I'm chayuv mitzah. If I do something with mezid, I'm chayuv mitzah and I'm patur mitashlumin. So that's the equivalent of by chabura and by mavir where I do something constructive, I'm chayuv mitzah, so I'm patur mitashlumin. By shogeg, by other malachot, if I do a shogeg, I'm not chayuv mitzah, but I'm still patur mitashlumin. So it's over here, when I don't do it in a constructive manner, I still do it in a kilkul manner. I don't have something, a little constructive aspect, alright? Even though I'm patur from the, patur on Shabbos, still patur min ha-tashlumim. That's what Rashi sees the Gemara saying over here. Alright, so that's, and then we'll go back and read it. There's one obvious problem with Rashi, which Tosus brings up, and we'll see that in a second. Rabbi Amar Mazizim B'shogeg, Gitana Be'chizkiya, Gitana Be'chizkiya, Maki Adam, Maki Be'ema. The Tosus draws the parallel between damaging a person and damaging a Be'ema. Ma maka behema, when it comes to damaging a behema, lo chalak ba ben shogeg, ben mezid, ben mitkaven, lein mitkaven, ben derech yivida, le derech aliyah, le potrom in a mamon. When a person, el chayvob a mamon, when a person does damage to an animal, doesn't matter how he does damage to this animal, he's going to be chayav with it. Whether he's a shogeg, whether he's a mezid, because an adam is mu'ad bi'olam, doesn't matter how he damages the animal, he is chayav. Doesn't matter if he's mitkaven or eno mitkaven. Right, he's still going to be chayav for the damage he does to the animal. Ben derech yivida, ben the derech aliyah. Rashi over here quotes the din by shogeg, by going to galus. You're only a chayav to go into galus if you do something derech yivida, not if you do it derech aliyah. Nevertheless, by an animal, right, when you do it derech aliyah, right, there you still, even though you're supposed to be galus, but you're going to be chayav when you do nezek to an animal in that instance. So by an animal, we make draw no such distinction. Right? So we draw no such distinctions in Pogromi Machavimo. Af make Adam. When it comes to hitting a person, Lotachlok bo ben shogeg le mezid. Won't differentiate between shogeg and mezid. Ben mitkaven and shen mitkaven. Ben derech yudav derech ila. Le chaybo mamon. Elo patro mamon. You're going to be patur from mamon when you hit a person. Right? And by chilul Shabbos. Right? We're not going to draw any distinctions between shogeg and mezid. Right? Mitkaven and enu mitkaven. Derech le derech yudav. Right, so therefore, they're going to all be what? The same. That's the Tana de Be'i Chizkiya. Tana Be'i Chizkiya says when it comes to hitting a behema, there's no distinction on how it comes about. So too, when it comes to hitting a person, then there's no distinction drawn between shogeg, mezid, all these things are always patur. So that's the same thing by Chilul Shabbos. As we say Tana Chizkiya, there's no differentiation between shogeg and mezid. So over here, there'll be no differentiation according to Rashi between Mekalkel, which is pure Mekalkel, versus Mekalkel that has a constructive aspect to it, you'll be patur from paying the tashlumim. How could you say our case in the Mishnah is shogeg? What is the last line in our Mishnah? The reason he's patur is because he gets a death sentence. You don't get a death sentence when you are a shogeg. So how can you say that? Means like a shogeg, of nation you don't have time. How can you this mean? That's when it's constructive. Over here, where it's shogeg, it's not constructive, or it's, according to Rashi, it's not constructive. Over here, if there's shogeg, you'll still be patur. So, explanation of domain nafsho is not the explanation of this case in particular, it's an explanation of why, in this case, you're patur. Because in the case of mezid, you're nidom nafsho and you're patur. Therefore, if you're here, in the case of shogeg, you're also patur, because what would have happened if you were a mezid? When would you be chayav b'nafsho b'mezid? Only if you did it in a constructive manner. Now the obvious problem with Rashi's pshat here is Rashi makes a quantum leap. Rashi says that if I have a malacha where I say it's the only way to do this malacha is constructive, if I leave out the constructive aspect of it, it's still a malacha. Right? That's what Rashi is suggesting over here. That's generally not the case in Shabbos. When you have something that defines the malacha, when you're lacking that issue, then it's no longer the malacha. The malacha is gone. That's the definition of the malacha. Right, so you see a clear difference here between Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos is going to disagree with Rashi exactly on that point. Rashi believes over here that Rabbi Yochanan, when he says you need something constructive to make you chayav on Shabbos, right, he's not saying that that's what defines. He says melacha is chabura, melacha is mavir, and that is the melacha. Alright, in order to be chayav, right, this is one of the requirements on Shabbos, is that to be chayav you need, right, also to be a little constructive. That's that some apron that you're making out of it, has to be that you need the blood. But without them, that doesn't mean that it's not a malacha. It's just not a malacha that you are chayav for. That's what Rashi is saying. The other answer says, what are you talking about? If Rabbi Yochanan needs you, in order not to be a mekalkel, he requires it to be for tarech la'ifer, or tarech la'dam, That means that without them, that's not classified or qualified as a malachah. That's not malachah on Shabbos. Then, what are you going to see? Well, how does he explain this Gemara? Then the flow of the Gemara is, he says, that explains, Ayoshma Matisa and Beshogeg. And when we say that our mission is a case of Shogeg, Da'am Milsa Shminin, who Dimya the Shorok. Because then you can draw a parallel between him and his shore. Masharo Beshogeg, Abu Beshogeg. Our case in our Mishnah is going to be a case. Why do we have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan? The problem we have with Rabbi Yochanan is, how do you come up with a case that he is the same as his shore? Right? We can't have a case of his and Shem's shore, because why? Because we said that he has to be, if he's constructive, then his shore must be constructive. And that's how we couldn't find a parallel. We have to come up with this crazy case that his shore is doing something constructive. And that's another problem. No, Rabbi Ova comes along and says, no, I can find you a parallel between him and his shore. It's a case where they both did it, Bishogeg. They both do it, Bishogeg, right? Then we don't have any issue. We can see that his shore is similar to him, even though they're not exactly alike. Because by him, it's going to be constructive, by his shore, necessarily constructive. But nevertheless, they both, what's the parallel between him and his shore? That they're both doing it, Bishogeg. When they both do it, Bishogeg, his shore is Chayav. Because the time of the Bech is Kiyav, because Shogeg and Mezid are Chayav always by your Mamo. On the other hand, what? By you, between Shogeg and Mezid, you'll always be Chayav on Shabbos, meaning quote-unquote Chayav, because then you'll be Patur for the Mamon, even though you did it this Shogeg. And that'll be the parallel between him and his Shor. That the din of Shogeg is similar for both of them. Right? That by Shor, Shogeg is going to be Chayav and Mamon, by Shogeg, you are going to be Patur and Mamon, and that'll be the parallel case between them. So this has nothing to do with the Malach or defining the Malach itself. And one, the last Tosus here is an interesting Tosus. He goes three levels of Mamon. Then you have Shogeg Mezid, Mitzkavin, Jehom, Mitzkavin, and then Aliyah and Yirida. It says that each three of these items come to teach us a certain halacha, come to teach us a special halacha. Right, so that's, why don't we do it anyway? If we're doing it anyway. Right, so that, by submitting it to Ben Shogeg and Mezid, Zari with Mamon, Acher, Bahati Mito. We have Mamon that's not associated with the Mito. The death penalty that you're getting, you did damage, but it's not associated with the death penalty that you're getting. In that case, we say, right, that Chayvei mitzvah shogegim are patur miteshlamim. Kimlei the rabbi plays even by cases of shogeg. That's the first din that Tana Beis Kiyot teaches us. The second din that they teach us is whether it's miskavein or eno miskavein, right? Then, this is talking about money. Again, that is coming at the same time as the mitzvah. That it happens at the same moment of the mitzvah. That mikav v'chomer mishogeg nafka. That we would learn that, right? Where are we going to be? We're poter yumi to dmei nerag. That there is no kofar over here. That you don't have to pay kofar. Why? That is Rabbi who says that when you intend to kill somebody, right, and you kill someone else, you intend to kill one person, you kill the other person, that you have to pay nefesh tachat nefesh. You have to pay mamon. You have to pay kofar in that case. When you're miskavim for one and you kill someone else, and that's it. And then Rabbi Tanya Mekhisi comes in, no! Just like by eno miskavim, you don't pay kofar. So too by miskavein, you don't pay kofar. It doesn't matter that you intend for this person to kill someone else. There is no kofar by person killing. That's the second din of Tembe Yisrael. The third din of Tembe Yisrael is when what you read of Aliyah.
Disagreement
with Aliyah. What? Yeah, that's exactly right. And then the last case, what's Derech Aliyah? That is, Kamo, the Derech Aliyah, just like when you go up, there's your shogeg, you can't go into galut, you can't get kapara. We don't take money from him to pay for it. Even when he does it in a downward motion. Even though by shogeg he would go to galut for that case. Right, and that will come to tell you that in that case you are still was patur min ha mamon. Even though by shogeg there's a differentiation between aliyah and yirida. So I would have thought you make the same distinction between Mamon the Kapara and Mamon, right, in between these two. He says, no distinction. Unlike Rashi, who says, Derech Aliyah, Derech Yirida, here is referring to Galut in general. Right, that's the most important Tosus, if anybody wants to look it over. Alright, next Mishnah. Shor Shor Yerodei Bakar Shor Acher, the Shor that's running after another Shor, means Zik, and he did, Huzak, and he did, came damaged. Zomer Shor Chai Zik. He says, the first day, owner of the Shor that got damaged says, your Shor that was chasing after my Shor did the damage, but Zomer Lo. He's running away, he tripped. Right? He got bumped into a wall. Something happened to him when he's running away. It wasn't my shore did it. I'm most of the chaver of a rayo. Right? The one who wants to get the money out here has got to get proof. Ayushnai Moti Makara, you have two shvarim running after a single shore. Zeomer Shokai Zik, Zeomer Shokai Zik. He says, each one of them says, your shore did it. The other guy says, it's your shore did it. They have to rip. They're both part to her because If the Muslim and Chaver were Araya, they both deny that it happened, they're sure. You can't prove which shore did it, so you are Patur. And now you, Shneem, Shalisha, God. Wait, if they both belong to one person, then Shneem Chayavim, then they're Chayav, Limon of Shach, right? Because either one of his Shvarim did the damage over here. Yachad Gadol, Yachad Katan. What happens if one of the Shvarim is big and one of them is small?
When it says Shneem Chayavim, does that mean that both of them should be killed and sold?
Okay, it's a good question. The Gemara can ask you a question about what is Shneem Chayavim. The Shneem Chayavim, and that's the Gemara's daf, is getting a lot of gold, which is, discusses exactly that point, which is, when you say Shneem Chayavim, because they both become collateral to the loan, do they both gufo to pay the loan? What does it mean, Shneem Chayavim? That's the discussion of the Gemara, great question. Now, the next Gemara is the mission. Echayachat Gadol, Echad Katan. Right? Aniza, there's one big and one small short. Aniza Gomer Gadol Hezik. The Nizak says the big one did damage. The small one did the damage. Why is it different? Because the difference is how much money to pay. If he paid me gufo, he wants the big one to do the damage, not the small one to do the damage. He has one short at the time, one's a mu'ad. And Nizak Omer mu'ad is zik. The Nizak says the mu'ad wants damage, so I get full reparations. But Nizak Omer lo, he also tam is zik. At the time, they didn't want to pay you half damages over here. Amosi mechavero alavarayo. You have to bring proof. If you want to take away from your friend, if you want to collect more than half nezik, if you want to collect from the gadol over here, you got to, right? You got to prove it. Are you on Nizakim Shnayim? That he has two shvarim that got damaged. Nizak has two shvarim that got married. Echad dov, echad katan. Mazikim Shnayim. And the ones that chased the after did the damage are also two. Echad gadol, echad katan. And Nizak omer gadol ezik et gadol v'katan et katan. Nizak obviously claims that the big one hurt the big one, and the katan hit the custom, because he wants to be able to get at least his, right, his value out. And if he takes the gadol, then he's asked, Mazik says no. Like, you cut down at the gadol. The small guy hurt the gadol, and you can take whatever, even though it doesn't get up to the value that you need, you take the katan. But gadol is a katan. In other words, the katan, gadol hurt the katan. Echatan vechat muad. And he's asked, omer muad uzik at the gadol. The muad hurt the gadol, but tam at the katan. Right? Because that's the best outcome for the nizak. But Matiko Mer Lo, Eloki Tam is a Gadol, why? Because then the Tam is a Gadol, but Mu'ad is a Katan, that's the best outcome for him. Again, a Mosi Mechavero, Alav Araya. In all these cases, you gotta bring proof that you wanna take more money, you wanna go your way, you gotta do that. You gotta prove it. So Amar Reb Chiya Ba'ava, Zot Omeret, from this we can say, Chalukim Alav Chavero Val Sumchus. That Sumchus, what Sumchus believes? Sumchus believes in general, that Mamon Amutal B'Safek, we have a Safek about Mamon, full king, right? That we divide the money. Over here, what is our mission to say? Even though we have a Safek about how it transpired, nevertheless, what? The mission says, Amosim Mechavero La Varaya. So we see that his Chavero, I mean, the Chachamim argue on Sumchus, even, what? Even in a case where you have a Safek. Amar Mamon Mutab Safek, full king. Over here, the Chachamim say, no, Amosim Mechavero La Varaya. Amalei Rav Abba, Rav Mamal, Rav Chiyab, Rav Amar Sumchus, Afilu Bori, Bori. What is the case where Sumchus says Mamu Tabu Safek is even a case we have a bari, meaning that we have a definitive claim from the Mazik and a definitive claim from the Nizak. So over there, do we really say that Mamu Tabu Safek is Kolkim? There is no. According to the Mazik, something definitive, something definitely happened. He's saying this is what happened. I'm laying. I'm a Sumchus Afilu Bari Bari. Even against the Bari Bari. He says, Umimai, the Mazikim of Bari Bari. How do you know our mission is the case where they're both making definitive claims? Says, well, the Hu Dikdani, because our mission says, Zeomer Shokhar Hezik, Vizeomer Lo! He, right, he says, no! The Nizar says, this is what happened. The Mazik says, no, no, no! Eloki, right, but rather, this is what happened. So he's making a definitive claim. He's not saying maybe. Oh, he's saying, he's making a definitive claim that this is what happened. So it's even a case where the Mazik makes a definitive claim, makes a Bari claim, right, in a simple sense, most moment of the topic, and we're going to split it. And that, even there, the Chachamim say, I'm looking at Chavero above Araya. Matzi Flora Papa. Papa says, wait a minute. Can you really set up our mission in a case of Bari Obari? Why? Midereshiv Bari Obari. If the first case in the mission is the case of Bari Obari, Seifa Nami Bari Obari? The case of the Seifa also Bari Obari? Ema Seifa. How are you going to explain this Seifa here? Haya Echad Gadol Ve'Echad Katan Nizak Omer Gadol Hezik Umazik Omer Lo Eloki Katan Hezik. Echad tam ve'echad muad. Nizak omer muad hezik. Ve'mazik omer lo eloki tam hezik. Amosi mechavero la varaya. Right? So what's the inference from that? Halo maisi ra'aya. If he doesn't make a proof, shakil kudamer mazik. You should get at least what the mazik says over here, right? What's the issue is? There's a machlokas here between the nizak and the mazik. Right? Between the nizak and mazik, they disagree on the circumstances over here. So now you have a case where, right, the ayayachad gadol v'chad katan. The animals that were attacking, one was big and one was small. And what is the nizak says is the big one that did the damage. And the mazik says it was the little one that did the damage. So now, they have two possibilities over here. The nizak is saying it's the big one. The mazik is saying it's the little one. So one possibility is to say, fine, we don't believe the nizak because it's the Muslim Chavero Lavaraya. But at least you should be able to collect out of the katan. Because the nizak at least admits to it up to the value of the katan. So you should be able to collect out of the katan. That's one way to look at it. Or, the other way to look at it is that when the nizak makes a claim that the gadol did it, he's saying the gadol did it and not the katan. So when he says not the katan, when the mazik says it's the katan, then the nizak is not entitled to anything because he said not that. So then he's not, he'll be get zero in that case. So which is it? That happens to be machlokes, right? Some other places in Jaz, like in Shavuot, it's not Yonim, hasn't been machlokes. So based on our Mishnah, if you say our Mishnah is against the Bari of Barbi, we could prove like one side. Why? Because our Mishnah says, I'm also Mechav al Raya. But if you don't have a Raya, you get at least like the katan. So that's proving like in one direction. That's what I say over here. Why is there a great problem for Rabbi Nathan? Right here, I make a claim that you took my chitim. And he says, no, I didn't take your chitim, I took your silrim, I took your barley. Potor! He's potor. Rabbi Nathan says, you're potor the gamre. Why? Because I made a claim of chitim, you're saying silrim, we're typing apples and oranges. Right? I say chitim, by silrim I say, it's as if I forgave you for the Sorim, because I don't even think there's a claim against the Sorim. So all you get, when you don't get, when I claim Kitim and you say Sorim, I get nothing. So over here, Elo, Vibari Vishemo. Must be the case in our mission is the case of Bari and Shemo. The Kamar Bari, the right, the man, or Kamar Shema man. Who was Bari and who was the Shema? Was it Nizak or Mazik? Which one is making a definitive claim and which is making a maybe claim? Ine Mud, you say the Kamar Mazik Bari. The Nizak is making a clear claim. Bekamar Mazik Shema, right? And the Mazik says Shema. Akati, let me tell you, the Rabbi Bar Natan. It's still be a question of Rabbi Bar Natan. Why? Because the Nizak is making a definitive claim that I claim Chitim, right? I say you owe me Chitim, and the other guy says, no, maybe I owe you Sorim. So the same thing. Oh, well, right? And what do we say over here? Till he pays the Orim. That doesn't help Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says in that case you're Potur the Gamre. Oh, it's Gamar, what's the case? The Nizak says, Shema. Right, as long as the Nizak, the person who's damaged, we're making the claim here, makes a definitive claim, we say that his claim is his claim, anything else we forgive. So over here also, he's making a definitive claim because the Gadol did it, not the Katan. And the other guy says, maybe. In that case, we say, no, that you don't get anything. Why? Because when you said Gadol, that meant, right? Everything is on the gadol. Katan, I don't have any claim against the katan. So he says that, then it's mostly mechaber la varaya. If he can't bring a raya to the gadol, he gets nothing. Right? That'll be against Rabbi Natan. Our mission says, if not for the raya, you'll get the katan. So that's against Rabbi Natan, who says you get nothing in that case. So, comrades, what's the case? Kasmas be, Avakamar Nizak Shema. Nizak says, maybe it was the gadol, maybe it was the katan that did it, maybe it was the gadol that did it. But Kamar Mazik, Bori. I'm certain it was the katan. Oh, so if that's the case over there, that sounds like equivalent to the case of Rabbi Natan. Because when I am the Nizak, I'm not making a Bari claim, I can't be forgiving everything else. Why? Because I'm making a claim, maybe it was the Gadol, maybe it's the Katan. Which means I'm making it open that it could be either one. And then when the Mazik comes along and says, no, for sure it's the Gadol, then when we bring a Raya, right, if he brings a Raya, I'm saying, he says, for sure it's the Katan. If you bring a Raya that's Gadol, then you collect that Gadol. If not, then you get the Katan. Right, because that's the Bari. Now, if the Seifa is the case of Nizak Shema Umazik Bari, Reishanami. Let's say the first case of Mishnah is also that way, Nizak Shema Umazik Bari. That the last case here is Nizak Shema Umazik Bari. Bar Mesumchus, Afilu Baha, right? And the Mesumchus says, even in that case, you say it's Mamon Amutah Basafek Kalun Chokim. These are from Zmin and Delo, because our Mishnah comes to teach us that Amosim Mechaver Balayra, which teaches you against the position of Tumchus, which says that Tumchus' position is, right? A case of Shema and Bari, not a case of Bari and Bari. That's not the case. Seifa, the last case is the case of Nizak Shema, Umazik Bari. Right, go ask the second case, the case of Nizak Shema and Mazik Bari. Why? Because that helps Rabbi Natan. That says that we don't have a problem here with Rabbi Natan, right? When the Nizak says Shema, we're not in the parsha of Rabbi Natan because Nizak doesn't make a definitive claim. When he doesn't make a definitive claim, that means he's not forgiving everything else. And when the Mazik comes and makes a Bari claim, then it's up to the Nizak to prove if he wants more money. If he doesn't prove, he gets what the Mazik says he gets. Reisha, the first case in our mission, the case of Nizak Bari. The damage is making a definitive claim. Umazik is making a Shema claim. Right, so Mar says, oh, if that's the case, halodami ratio the safe one. That means that the ratio and the safe are not alike. The whole question for Rabbi Pumpa on the way that we set up the mission according to Rabbi Abba Ramel is, how can you set up the ratio as Bari and Bari? Right, the case in the safe has to be a case of Bari and Shema. But you're doing, in the end, you're doing the exact same thing. Because you're saying that the safer case is a case of, right, Shema and Bari. And then the race is the case of Bari and Shema. You're reversing it. So if you're saying there's no parallel in the Mishnah, why not just say that the first case is Bari and Bari, and the second case is Bari Shema? So it says, no. Amri, Bari, B'Shema, B'Shema, Bari, Chad Milsi. To flip around which person is saying Bari and Shema, that's still considered like it's one case in the Mishnah. That's it. That's a still parallel structure in the Mishnah. Bari, Bari, and Bari and Shema, or Bari and Bari, Tremulating who? If you differentiate Bari and Bari and Bari and Shema, that's two different categories whatsoever. At least in the case of Bari and Shema, you have one person saying Bari, one Shema, which you have to figure out who it is that's saying it. So the ratio is one way, and the Seifa is the other way. But on the other hand, when you say Bari and Bari, that's totally a different category, and that we can't consider a parallel structure in the Mishnah. So okay, at least until this point, right, what is the Gemara concluding? The Gemara concluding, we have actually have four cases in our Mishnah. Right, the Gemara has now addressed the first two of those cases. Right, so he says the first case is in the case where he says shorcha hedit. Right, the case where he says your shor did the damage. Right, and he says no. He says no. Elo what? Elo ki? He got hurt by the ground. He got hit by a cella. Right, hit by a rock. So that's the first case. The first case in our Mishnah, and that's gonna be a case where the Nizak is making a Bari claim, right? He's making a definitive claim, and the Mazik is saying, maybe he got hurt by a rock. There we still say, Amosi Mechaver Olav HaRaya. Because Sumchus is going to argue in that case that it's Mamon Amutal B'Safek. It's Mamon Amutal B'Safek Cholkim. And yet, some of you still say, Amosi Mechaver Olav HaRaya. The first case in the Mishnah is a case where it's Nizak is Bari, and the Mazik is saying Shema, and nevertheless, we still have a Machlokas Sumchus and Rabbanan. What's the second case in our Mishnah? Second case in the Mishnah is when he says Ech Gadol Be'echad Katan. It's one big one and one little shore that are chasing afterwards. What does the Nizak say? The Nizak says, maybe it was the big one who hurt my shore. And the Mazik says, no, for sure it was the small one that did the damage. In that case, you say, if he brings a proof, he gets to collect out of the Gadol. If he brings no proof, he collects out of the Katan. Why does he collect out of the Katan? Because he didn't nix the Katan as being a possibility. He said either Katan or Gadol, I don't know. And the Mazik says for sure it's the Katan, so he admitted to the Katan. In that case, we're going to say he collects, even according to Rabbi Natan, when it says Tanu Kitim, Vodulo Vesorim, over here, his claim included the Katan. So he said either Gadol or Katan. And when the guy says Bari Li, that it was a Katan, then we have a Katan and a Katan, it matches up. That's Chayav. Now we have two other cases of the Mishnah which the Gemara did not address yet, and that's what the Gemara is up to now. The Gemara is going to address the other two cases of the Mishnah. So the case here of Gufa. Right, now, the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Rabbi Bar Natan, Tanu Chitim, Behodu Lo B'Sarim Patur. My Kamash Malon. What is Rabbi Bar Natan teaching us over here? Tanina, we already learned that we learned that in a Braisa already. Or we learned that the Mishnah also, Tanu Chitim, Behodu Lo B'Sarim Patur. Yeah, that's straight out in the Mishnah. Ima asked him over there, we said, have a mean of patur means maybe. That he's got patur to pay for chitim. But chayav is made sorim. But he's still chayav to pay at least the value of sorim. That when I say chitim are worth more than sorim. So I say you're worth me $100, which is the amount of value of a chitim. He says, no, I'm only chayav is made sorim, which is $80. So at least let him pay the $80 because he's admitting to 80 out of the 100. That's what Kamash Malon, the Potter of the Gamrin. That's what Rabbi Barnata comes to teach us. That when it comes to this case, you're Potter the Gamrin. Why are you Potter the Gamrin? Because it's apples and oranges. I say Chitim, you say Sorim. That means I say Chitim and not Sorim. When you make Sorim, we're not talking about the same thing. So it's not. Hayu Nizakim Shnayim. What happens in our case? This is the third case in our Mishnah. What happens if these Dakim are two? Echad gadol, echad katan. Right? One of them is a big one, one of them is a gadol, and we have two people attacking, right? We had a gadol and katan that were damaged, and we have a gadol and katan that did damage. Right? So the Gemara says, halo maisi rayo. Our Mishnah says if he doesn't bring a proof, shokil kid amar mazik. He'll take like what the mazik says. Amai, why is that? Chitim v'sorin ninu. That's a case where it is chitim v'sorin. What happened here? Again, he has the nizak, the damage, he has two shvarim. He has a big one and a little one. The mazik has two shvarim, and he says it's a big one and a little one. What does the nizak say? Nizak says, listen, your big one hurt my big one, and your little one hit my little one. The other mazik comes along and says, no. There's a katan that hurts the gadol, and the gadol hits the katan. Our Mishnah says the obligation of proof, right, is on the nizak. So moti mechavero alav araya. What happens if he doesn't have a raya? The implication of our Mishnah is that he'll collect like what the mazik said. Why should he collect like the way the mazik said? Right? He should be like Kitim and Sorin. Now what do you want to do? You want to answer here that it's like we said before, it's a place where the nizak says Shema and the mazik says Bari. You already brought me a case like that in the Mishnah. Right? I don't need to know that anymore. You taught me that in the second case in the Mishnah. Why should the third case repeat the same din in the third case in the Mishnah? So it must be something different. So what's different here? The Gemara says, no, it's Ra'ui L'Tol. Not that he's able to collect in that case. When he doesn't have a Raya, he's not right, but he's Ra'ui L'Tol. Right? He could. If he brought a Raya, then he would collect. If he doesn't bring a Raya, he doesn't get it at all. Don't make the inference that what? That if he doesn't bring a Raya, he gets to collect like the Mazik says. No, but Ra'ui L'Tol means, if he brings a Raya, he collects. If he doesn't bring a Raya, he doesn't collect at all. But there it says, the Enlok, right? The Ra'uli told the Enlok, he doesn't have it. V'ha Tanya, we have a price that says, Harei Mishtalim ala Katan min ha-Gadol ha-Gadol min ha-Katan. Wait a minute. We have a price that openly says, the inference that we drew from our Mishnah, which is that, when you don't bring a Raya, you're entitled to collect like what the Mazik says. That's against Rabbi Natan, and Rabbi Bar Natan again. So Mar says, the Tophos, it's a case where he grabbed it. Not that he's entitled to take it, but a case that he was to face, right, the animal. When he still faced the animal, then we say at least we can keep what the mazik admitted to. The mazik admitted at least that much. When he still faced, he keeps it. Not that he's entitled to collect that way, but if he is still faced, we don't take it away from him. It's none. Now we have a fourth case in our Mishnah. What's the fourth case in our Mishnah? Aya echad tam ve'echad mu'ad. One of them was the tam, one was the mu'ad. And Isaac omer mu'ad izik et ha-gadol v'tam et ha-katan. And Isaac omer lo. Kelo tam et ha-gadol u'mu'ad et ha-katan. Right, so they argue here, right? And Isaac says that the mu'ad hurt the big one, and the tam hurt the little one, and the mazik says the opposite. The tam hurt the big one, and then the mu'ad hurt the little one, so that you can get less. And our Mishnah says, "Mosi mechaber lo v'raya." So again, we'll draw the inference, "Ha lo maisi raya shakil kid amar." If you don't bring a raya, you're going to collect like what the mazik says. That's a problem for Rabbi Bar Natan again, because that's tanu chitim, right? Told the lo biz sorin. So it's a mazik. Amai chitim sorininu. So Gemara answers up the same way he says, now where it's Ra'ui L'Tol, Ve'en Lo, it's a case where he could take it, right? Ve'en Lo, and he's not entitled to it. If he brings a Raya, then he can take it. But if he doesn't bring a Raya, he doesn't get it. Ve'at Tanya, again, we have a Bryce that explicitly says, Harei Zeh Mishtalim L'Katan Min Amu'ad L'Gadol Min Atam, that he does get like the Mazik, which we against Rabbi Bar Natan, the Gemara says, it's again, it's a case where he grabbed it. Where he took it. Not that he's entitled to min adin, but if he went ahead and he took it, what the mazik admitted to, in that case, he'd be able to keep what the mazik says. Okay, we'll stop over here.